Hello, Michael Bailey here. You're about to listen to our preview of the Hungarian Grand Prix with the NRF1 podcast. But this is just a note to say that we did record this podcast before the news was confirmed that Jules Bianchi had died from the injuries sustained at Suzuka last year. So you won't hear any mention of Jules in this podcast, but of course his friends and family are truly in our thoughts, all our thoughts, every member of the podcast crew. And we, of course, hope that Jules Bianchi rests in peace. We will give, I'm sure, full mention to Jules in the podcast following the action from the Hungaroring. But in the meantime, here is our preview of the race weekend. Hello everyone, welcome back to the NRF1 podcast as we look ahead to the Hungarian Grand Prix, round 10 of the season of 19. So we are effectively halfway-ish, well, we will be halfway through the Hungarian Grand Prix. That hasn't really worked at all, has it? Is that right?
If it's 10 of 19, then it will be technically, if you include the practice sessions, probably after, well, the start of qualifying, would have thought.
Or at the end of FP3. Well, it depends if you're doing it by laps or by time. I mean, this really has developed into a pretty painful... Let's just say we're at the halfway race of the Formula One season. My name's Michael Bailey. That was Richard Baxter. And Kyle Cumbers is busy laughing at what a mess we've made of all that stuff. Gentlemen, I hope we're all still well. I hope you caught our last podcast where we went through the Silverstone action and reaction, which was, of course, great fun. We're going to move things on now. We're going to catch up with the news first, shall we? Or the discussion points, I suppose, possibly off the back of that weekend in Northamptonshire. Kimi Raikkonen is where I want to bring things to first. First of all, either you two think he will be in Formula One next season?
No.
I do.
Oh, God, I couldn't have planned that better. Why do you think he'll be, and where do you think he'll be?
Well, I might be wrong, but I think he's got 1 year left on his contract, hasn't he?
Why am I wrong? It's
an option, isn't it?
Well, yeah, okay. It probably does have a multi-year deal that the Ferrari could extend, possibly. I don't know.
I was under the understanding, you know, that he had 1 year left on his contract, and I thought they'd take him up on that year to keep him going, because 2017 is the date they've talked about big changes. So I thought, would Ferrari try and plan these big changes around a new driver as well, such as Bottas or maybe even Hülkenberg?
If he did only have 1 year left on his, or, you know, if this was his last year on his deal, do you think he'd still be in Formula One next year?
I might have to come back to you on that one.
Oh,
we should also mention Ferrari have booted him out before with 1 year left on his contract.
Of course. Oh yeah, that's true. He did get a bit of money for that one.
He got a fair amount of money, right? Yeah.
A little bit of money. I mean, it's a difficult one for Kimi, I suppose, and that we've discussed it before. There are some pretty good options. Probably, if he went, I mean, the last suggestion was that they'd try and prize Daniel Ricciardo out of Red Bull.
I think that's part of his problem. There's a few drivers there that are now deserving of a chance in a big team, and he promises at various points of a weekend or the season, you think, oh, he's back, and then this all seems to go a bit wrong. And I don't actually know how old he is, actually.
He must be older. Hamilton's 30, so you would have thought he must be older than him. I mean, how old's Button now?
Button is the oldest, isn't he? So I'm sort of saying 33, 34, which is still quite young, but you always do worry with Kimi, lack of motivation. And
there's just not enough ice creams in the world.
So, yeah, it'd be a shame to see Kimi leave. But if I was Ferrari boss, I would be looking at a Bottas or a Hülkenberg or another option. But yeah, that's my opinion.
The iPad is just firing up. It's painfully slow at the moment. but when it does load up, I will be able to tell you that Kimi Raikkonen is 35.
Really?
He will be 36 come October.
It's amazing when you think they're only 35, so he's basically just over 10 years older than me, and yet he seems to have been around, I don't know, basically all my life, it seems. It's just like...
Good grief, he's only 2 years older than me. That's mad. I'm going to start feeling quite old, I think, at this point. Never mind. Who, say Kimi leaves, who would you like to see in the Ferrari seat, Richard?
Personally, I'd like to see Hülkenberg finally given an opportunity in a top team. Bottas was the other name mentioned, of course, who is a good driver. But at Williams, the last couple of seasons they've picked up, and I think he's got a pretty decent car. And I mean, it's almost a sideways swap to Ferrari for Bottas. I think I'd like to see Hülkenberg move up and, yeah, go there.
I'd love to see an Italian driver race for Ferrari.
What? Are there any?
That would be nice. Yeah. So Fisichella was the last Italian driver in the sport, I believe.
Gosh, I wonder who the closest... I wonder if Ferrari drew a list, who the closest Italian would be to sitting in a Ferrari.
Because they've got the... chap's name now. GP2 racer. No. Marcello.
Oh, okay. Is he Italian?
Yes. And I think they've... Yeah, given him a bit of hope. But I don't think he's not ready for that, so...
Say that as well. Ricciardo is an Italian-sounding name.
Which they don't say right. I mean, he's probably offending them every time he calls himself Ricciardo.
It's probably Ricciardo or something like that.
Well, it is. And beautiful accent, Rich. That was much better than your American accent. But, he doesn't say his name right. That's exactly how he should be going down, Daniel Ricciardo. Which is not, that's just an annoying...
If he did say it the Italian way, he would get beat up at school.
Well, that doesn't say much for Australians, does it?
As the Ashes has become.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, let's get that in early.
That's tomorrow.
We can't date the podcast, Rich. Can't date the podcast.
So, yeah, actually, I'm going to say Ricciardo. Ricciardo.
You would like to see him in the Ferrari seat?
Yes, I would, yeah.
I mean, I must admit, I would have said Hülkenberg because he's further down the line of waiting than Bottas. I'd like to see both of them in a good car.
Nothing against Germans.
Oh, Lord.
But there's two Germans in the Ferrari team. Don't think it's right.
Well, no. That's probably I can see that argument.
They've worked well together in the past, though, with one German, so maybe two they think would be the option to take up.
Exactly. I can't have enough of a good thing. The other thing that has come upon us recently, Lotus have been issued with a winding up order. Now, these do happen. They can be of various seriousness depending on who's putting it forward and what it means. But clearly, after a sort of a period of not hearing a lot in terms of the troubles at Enstone, and they've obviously done a lot to restructure the business, I think, last year, a couple of things have come back on the radar. Also a suggestion that they might go back to becoming the Renault Works team as well. Good Lord, I mean, what do you reckon, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, the winding up petition, they seem quite comfortable with it, and sort of said it's sort of suppliers putting a bit of pressure on them, especially after Marussia and Caterham fell through. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, we hope that's all fine. And the Renault thing, it'd be good to see another manufacturer come in, but you kind of just wish that Renault would make a decision, really, because it wasn't that long ago they sold it. So what's really changed, apart from Red Bull slagging them off?
Well, that is probably what's changed. Yeah. I think they were the works team by de facto, weren't they? And then Nissan and Infiniti got involved and it all became a little bit grubby. Let's be honest, grubby. Would be a shame, I suppose, if the Lotus name disappeared from Formula 1, but we're only dealing with the name now, aren't we? There's no substantial connection. There's no money going anywhere. It's just a name they're trawling around with.
No, yeah, like I said, it's just the name. But, I mean, there's still another team on the grid. I was watching back, I think it was a documentary on Hunt and Lauda. And I think they said about that season there was about 30 cars on the grid.
Mm.
And you think, that's a lot. And you think now we're down to 20. You think, if you can get 30 on, why not? Let's go for it. Let's get more and more teams. So
that's a brilliant documentary, that, because I think they brought that out, or I remember watching it around the time that Rush was actually released. So yeah. Rush is, of course, the action picture by Ron Howard, which is good.
But I did like watching the proper documentary of them. Yeah. It was fantastic. I must admit Lotus's antics at Silverstone did make me think of when I used to go to the British Grand Prix and cover it, because I'd have gone all that way to cover a team with Norfolk connections, and then they'd just driven into each other after the second corner, and that would have been that, and it'd been quite an early Sunday finish, at least. Anyway, okay, let's move on to Hungary then, shall we? Hungarian Grand Prix. It is the circuit that looks like a camel on a skateboard. Anyone want to look at it now and just see what I mean?
I was looking at it yesterday, and now you say that, I just think, wow.
We've done this before. I love it. I just think, well, yeah, it's the camel on the skateboard. And people go, what? And then they look and go, oh, yes.
I think the name is the best as well, the Hungaro Ring. Yeah, because it's such a mouthful. And it's
it's hard to write as well. I was writing it down thinking, well, that doesn't...
it sounds much cooler as well than just like something like Silverstone.
Well, yeah, but Silverstone's lovely. You there yet, Kyle?
Not yet. So the camel on a skateboard.
I suppose you could call it a surfboard.
Yes, I can see it now, yep. I can see it, yep. The hump, yep.
It's not just about the hump. It's about the skateboard stroke surfboard. It probably is more of a surfboard.
Yeah.
That would be more comic as well, I suppose.
Yep, I can see what you're saying. I'm never going to look at it in the same way.
He is rolling around in true laughter. Who can tell me who won the Hungarian Grand Prix last year?
I can, because I was actually Googling it last night.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. Did you know? Could you remember before you Googled it?
No, I couldn't remember a thing about last year's race at all, to be honest.
I don't know. I think I was somewhere else at the time. Kyle, can you remember you're still bemused by the camel on the surfboard, skateboard, whichever. Definitely looks like one. Can you remember who won the race last year in Hungary?
Danny Ric.
It was Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah, he's not going to win it this year, is he?
No. It was a very good race last year, wasn't it?
Well, it was, Hamilton at that point probably thought his world title hopes were over.
As he saw his car in flames in qualifying. We had the old team radios between Mercedes and, is he going to let me by? Well, he's got to get closer to let me by. And yes. And often it is. I quite like the Hungarian because British drivers always done quite well there. It's probably not the best track, but I think Damon Hill won his first race there.
Oof. Yeah.
Had the old Arrows victory taken away from him. Jenson Button won his first race there. Hamilton's got a good record there. And
this, Hamilton has won it 4 times. Only Michael Schumacher can match that. So this is a very generous place to him. I was going to ask you to name the 4 drivers on the current grid who have won at the Hungaro Ring. But actually, in the course of the last 5 minutes, we've named 3 of them. Who can name the other one?
I can't remember the last 3 we named.
Well, Lewis has won 4 times.
Hamilton was one. So
the
I guess
guy who won it last year.
Ricardo and Button.
There you go, and Button, who, yeah, won. So that only leaves one.
Vettel must have won there at some point.
No, I don't think he has. Although, I don't think he was the other one I had.
I was going to say Alonso, but...
I think it is Fernando Alonso, yeah.
I was gonna say.
But that said, if anyone's listening to this and I've got that wrong, please let me know. I think that's right. Which would mean that there can't be many tracks that Sebastian Vettel hasn't won at. No, he's never won there.
Wow.
Ricciardo last season, then Lewis for 2, Jensen, Mark Webber. Oof, even Mark Webber beat Sebastian Vettel at the Hungaro Ring. Lewis again, Heikki Kovalainen.
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
Massa's
how about that?
Last lap. It wasn't Massa in the Ferrari's last lap. Kind of engine gave up.
Yeah.
Kovalainen just breezed past, just like, ah.
Woof. Then it was going backwards. Lewis again, Jensen again. Kimi's won once. Mika Häkkinen. Good place for Finns. Kimi, Heikki, Mika Häkkinen all won there. Anyway, there we go. So that's exciting, isn't it? We always ask this question. Most important weekend for, off the back of what happened at Silverstone, of course.
Apart from the Mercedes drivers, obviously the championship battle, I'm probably going to Ferrari. They need a strong weekend and need to get closer to Mercedes. So, yeah, I'm going to say Ferrari.
Someone I would say with this 3-week gap that we've got, it's McLaren. It's an ideal time to bring in plenty of updates. Make sure, you know, can get them on the wind tunnel and the factory and everything. Make sure they actually work. and produce more than one of them, like they did with the front wing that I got. So
you tell them, Rich, you tell them. I would say, I suppose, Kimi Raikkonen. I mean, it's a good track for Finns, as I've just said, so maybe he can do something a little bit different there. And I suppose Force India. They had a very good first outing in their new car. Let's see if they can do it again. Right, now we do have a bit of making up here to do because it's predictions time. And I do apologise again for the last podcast where we were in such a tizz we hadn't got updated results from the Austrian Grand Prix. Can anyone even remember the Austrian Grand Prix and what happened? I can't. I remember falling asleep twice. That was about it. So let me very quickly say that for the Austrian Grand Prix, I predicted that there would be a Williams on the podium, that there'd be no Red Bull or Toro Rosso in the points, which was wrong, that McLaren would be in the top 12, that was wrong, Grosjean would finish ahead of Maldonado, that was wrong, Raikkonen would be outside the top 6, that was correct, and Hamilton would win the race, which he didn't, of course. Kyle, you said that Hamilton would be on pole, which was right, and he would win, which he didn't. Bottas, top 4 in race and qualifying, I think he missed out on that in both of those. That Sainz would be the top Red Bull and Toro Rosso driver, and I think I can't remember who outdid you there, but probably Ricciardo was it, or Kvyat maybe. McLaren Q1 exit, I think it was that both McLaren would exit in Q1, okay. Not a McLaren. Rich, you said that there, no, you had a good one, as you rightly said last time. One Red Bull would have a grid penalty, you were correct. Two Williams in the top 6, spot on. Massa would finish ahead of Bottas, which was correct. Maldonado in the points, which was correct. And you got a kudos points. You said there'd be 3 DNFs, and I think there were 6 in the end. But that was very good. Steve Russ said that Hamilton would win, wrong. Rosberg second, wrong. Vettel third, wrong. One Lotus in the top 10, correct. Two Williams in the points, correct. And a DNF for Alonso, Button and Kvyat. I think Kvyat was the only one who didn't DNF, so he's quite close in that one. And Josh said that Hamilton would win. Rosberg second, Bottas third. Massa in the points, that one was correct. One Lotus to cause a crash. Now, Grosjean had a gearbox failure and sort of went off. So I haven't really included that as a crash because I don't think that's what he was getting at. And the other Lotus would be in the points, which it was. He also said McLaren would have 2 DNFs, which was correct as well. And we had Sam Todd, who got in touch. Now, he said there'd be a non-Mercedes pole, which was wrong, but it would be a Mercedes win, which was correct. Grosjean would finish ahead of Maldonado, which was wrong, but there'd be no Red Bull in the top 7, which was correct, and that McLaren would be outside the top 10. Which was also correct. So he had a very good weekend. Sam, you need to follow it up now because that's good work. So, Silverstone. Hope you're still with us. I predicted that Williams would be on the podium. No, all 3 Brits to finish, hardly. Lotus, 2 in the top 10. That was wrong. Hülkenberg, top 6. Felt a bit hard done by on that one, but he was close. Maldonado would finish ahead of Grosjean. No, he didn't. I got nothing right. Rich, you said McLaren would have 2 classified finishes. That didn't last long, did it? 2 Brits in the top 10 also therefore didn't last long. No Red Bull in the top 10. Kvyat obviously did really well. Verstappen in the top 10. No, he spun out. And Vettel P2. No. So, much like me, I also a blank weekend. So then we moved on to Steve Rust. He said a Mercedes would top all of the 3 practice sessions, which it did. He said in qualifying there'd be no Red Bull in Q3. He was wrong. 1 McLaren in Q2. Again, he was wrong. And the Mercedes would be split on the grid, which was wrong. Then he said there'd be a safety car in the race, which was correct. And no wet or intermediate tyres in any session, which of course he was wrong as well. So he only got 1 right. No, 2 right, sorry. No, yeah, 2. He only got 2 right. And then Kyle, you said Hamilton pole and P1. Now, you emailed me these before, yeah. FP1. I have verified these are fine. He said Hamilton pole and P1, which is correct. Button ahead of Alonso, which was wrong. Stevens ahead of Mary, should have been. Force India would have 2 cars in the points. Good call. Ericsson, a Q1 exit. And he did just make it into Q2, I think, didn't he? I think just about. Yes, did, so yes. Close. So after all that gubbins, the table is Kyle, you are leading and you have a pretty healthy lead as well. Sam has leaped into second off the back of his superb Austria prediction. So Sam, this is why you've got to keep them going, because consistency and regularity is rewarded, and you may get caught up by, say, myself, who is only just behind in third. Steve's fourth. Josh is fifth. He's leapfrogged you, I'm afraid. Richard, you're now in seventh. And Perry, dear Ped, who will hopefully be coming in over when we're next back, he's down at the bottom. But you know, I know what Ped's like, a couple of prediction weekends and he will be bang right up there. So after all that, Hungary, who wants to go first? I've done enough talking.
Are you prepared?
I am, yeah. Well, we did say earlier, we did mention about Hungary being good for new drivers to win at, basically. No one who's ever won a race has won there before. And you also said about it's good for the Finns. Well, I've had written these down yesterday, and I put Bottas to win the race.
Oh, no, yeah, could be a good call, that.
That's you know, just...
That's it.
Yeah, no, that's my one. No, I've changed it with the gap as well. I'm hoping for some improvements for some teams. So I'm saying both Red Bulls in the top 10 and both McLarens to finish in the top 15.
Okay, yeah.
So I think to finish is actually quite...
Yeah, the way it's going at the moment.
I think there will be a safety car. And my last one is Kvyat to out-qualify Ricciardo.
No, it's fine, as long as you give them both. Nice, Rich, happy with that?
Yeah, I wrote them down last night in my moments of thought, and probably not going to win any again, but you know.
Don't be so sure. Kyle, do you want to go?
Yep, I'm going to go for the standard Hamilton pole, Hamilton win. I'm going to go for a Red Bull in the top five. I feel a strong Red Bull. I think the track will suit Red Bull.
Well, he does like it, doesn't he?
Yeah. So go for that. I think Williams might struggle.
Ooh, what makes you think that?
It's quite heavy downforce track, possibly. So I'm gonna have only one Williams in Q3.
Oof. That is quite a big call. That's a kudos point, that one.
I did actually, it's going to sound weird, but I had a dream in which case I heard the commentator.
It's not about Susie Perry, is it?
No, the commentator, what was his name, Ben Edwards, said, oh, look at the Williams, one's in 11th, one's in 16th. So it was kind of, is that a sign? But I thought, no, I'm not listening to that.
Love it.
I'm going to go McLaren in the points. Is that
your face as you said that?
Yes.
No. That's fine. Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, Rich thinks they'll do well if they finish. So yeah.
That's what I said. Top 15.
Yeah.
And I fancy a strong Hülkenberg race again.
Le Mans winner. Nico Hülkenberg.
First time he was there. Le Mans winner.
Did it all on his own as well.
Yes.
Did he build the car as well?
I'm going to go for him top six in qualify.
Oh, that's, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's my, I'm done.
Okay. My go. I don't think Lewis Hamilton's going to win the race.
Outrageous.
Big call. I don't think. I mean, that you know, I think that's a reasonable prediction given how things are going at the moment, because he might do. So I don't think he will win. And I find it interesting what you said about Williams. So I think there'll be two Force Indias in the top eight. So they had a good weekend this weekend at Silverstone, and I think they will improve on that. I also, again, Hülkenberg will finish ahead of Perez. I think he has the top of him on that one. I think Daniel Kvyat will finish ahead of Ricciardo again, which is a big call because Daniel did quite well at Hungary. He won it last year. And Lotus obviously mired in horrible stuff. So why don't we suggest... It's difficult to gauge their pace, really. Where did they qualify at Silverstone? Does anyone know where the Lotus is qualified?
Grosjean qualified 12th. Maldonado 14th. It's quite disappointing, really.
At Silverstone?
Yeah.
Last weekend?
Yes.
Both out of Q1?
Yeah.
Two? Three? Neither in Q3.
Yeah, correct.
Well, I don't think either will be in Q3, and I don't think either will finish in the points either. Again, I think they're probably going to go backwards, because I would imagine they haven't got much money to develop the car, given what's coming out at the moment. So let's say that. And so Hungary, is there anything comical we can do with Hungary in terms of predictions?
Do you remember last year, no, 2 years ago, sorry, Grosjean at turn four overtook on the outside someone, and he held it basically.
Awesome.
So that could be worth a shout, whether someone's going to do that.
Yeah. I'm so glad I asked that question. Brilliant, Rich. I think at the start, everyone's going to crash into each other. And
no, that's my usual prediction. Yeah.
Still yet to come true.
We often, every year, we often see the water park that is near the track. So maybe how many times we see the water track.
Well, you can count that one.
How many times they say Le Mans winner Nico Hülkenberg.
And you can count that one.
It rains there.
Does something. There's a bit of change of it, can it?
Yeah.
Rained last year, in fact, at the start, which made Hamilton go straight on, wasn't it, at one point?
Yes, he came a bit straight on to the end. Engine penalties.
I think Max Verstappen will not finish again due to his own mistake. I think he's in a rut. Ouch. Hey, ouch.
Steep learning curve.
Yeah. Or he'll crash and it'll affect it. Yeah, a crash will affect his race. Does that make sense? He'll lose a wing or something. He'll have to do something like that.
He'll either crash or someone will crash into him. Or
I'm being as vague with my predictions as you are now, Rich.
I'm not usually that.
No, you're not. No, you've nailed it recently.
How dare you?
I know. I take it all back. All right, then. Well, I think we better put everyone out of their misery, because I don't think anyone's still listening to this. But that's all the predictions. As always, we'd love to hear yours too. Just get in touch with us via email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, or via the Twitter handle, which is @thenrf1, or you can use the hashtag nrf1. Don't know if, I mean, we use that, so you can do that loads of ways. Tell us, all you need to do is get the predictions into us before the start of FP1. That's all we ask, and then we'll count them into our little table. And you can always get a hold of us on Twitter, as I like to plug. I'm @MichaelJBailey. Kyle, you are
@KCumbers,
and Rich
@Bax_kid.
If you want it spelt out, you can listen to the last podcast. NRF1.uk is the website address. Loads of blogs on there. Kyle, do you reckon we'll have some tips?
Definitely tips, yep. And maybe a couple other blogs, possibly.
Oh,
a couple.
Excellent news. And we'll have Rich's blog. Yours will be up there by now, I'm sure, by the time this goes out, because I'll make sure I've done it. We've also got the karting video we did from ages ago. It's a couple of years old. But we did it with Dave Tillier and Barry Hamilton and myself. And Josh Raymond was with us as well. It's a little bit of fun. So that will be going up soon. I'll link that. That will all be on the website. Until then, we better get going. But thanks, everyone, for listening to the podcast, as always. Hope you enjoy the Hungarian Grand Prix, and then we can enjoy a summer break. Gents, thanks as always for your time. Much appreciated. Enjoy the racing. Hopefully we'll be live tweeting from the race, but you can follow all the details of that on Twitter. And we've got a new Facebook page. I didn't even mention that in the other podcast. A new Facebook page. I can't remember what the address is. But if you search NRF1, it probably comes up. I would guess it's facebook.com/NRF1podcast. Because I think it had to be a few letters long. It had to be longer than four letters, the extra bit. So we'll link to the podcast there, and if there's anything you want to post, say hello, or you can get your predictions in on there, I suppose, then let us know what you think, and we'll have some fun on there too. Right, I am going now. We're all going now. Thanks again, and we'll see you after Hungary for the summer. Bye for now.